Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you, as we've been doing here in this neck of the woods for about, over 30 years now. And that's with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And also with our friends up at WTMR 800 AM, serving the New Jersey and Philadelphia region. And I'm so delighted just to be in partnership with these good folks as we all just come to sit at the feet of the Lord together to listen for His heart. Oh, I just love doing that. So honored that you are tuning in today. And if you were with us last week, you know that we've started a series on this particular portrait of God. Remember, my big series is all called Portraits of God, but within it, for the next 3 more weeks, we started last week, we're doing a 4-week series on how He is our baseline peace. Yeah, that's the portrait we're looking at. The Lord is our baseline peace. We're going to be over in Matthew chapter 5 today as we pick up number 5 of 16 takeaways. We did the first 4 last week. And hey, as you're making your way to Matthew chapter 5, just a quick reminder that all of these radio messages, 27 minutes, are archived on my website. That's markpg.org, markpg.org. When you get there, you just click on the broadcast box. There's a little gray box there, and that'll take you to the next landing page. You just click on Portraits of God, and then you're there. You can see all of the messages we've done thus far and other topics. And by the way, when you're at markpg.org, there are other gray boxes on that landing page, one that has videos, 3-minute videos of Portraits of God. Then you have Whispers of God articles I've written for publication here in Southwest Florida over the years. And then also printable guides. These are outlines, thematic outlines on great themes of the Bible, and also how to deal with all of the hot topics that we face in family, that we face in church and in this world, all designed to do one thing, to help you hear God. So check it out, markpg.org. And speaking of hearing God, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak as we get ready to take a stroll through His scriptures together to see the mighty truths that He has for us there for today. Lord, I'm so grateful for this privilege. I just love coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. And Lord, we get to listen for Your heart as You show us more and more what Your heart is. And as You show us Your ways. And we love these portraits, oh Lord. And as we're looking at how You are our baseline peace. Oh, we're living in a crazy world now. All kinds of stuff going on. Robbing our peace. And yet, when we make You our baseline go-to, well, we discover it's a baseline peace. So thank You, Lord, for being that kind of God, loving to speak to His people, watching over us, taking care of us. You've got this. You've got all this craziness. We can trust You, Lord. So thank You for this time we get to spend together. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, for those of you that are note takers, just a quick review of the first 4 we covered last week, that the Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that, number 1, peace is most deeply Christ Himself. It's Christ Himself. It's not anything else. It's not the scripture. It's not doctrinal integrity. It's not, I mean, those things are important, obviously, but they point to Jesus Himself. And Ephesians 2:13 puts it this way. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. So that's where we get this portrait name, how you, Lord, are our baseline peace. Then number two, peace and hope flow from believing God. Do you believe God's got the things in your life? It's hard to lose sight of that. But the scripture tells us in Romans 15, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope. He is our baseline peace. All joy and peace comes by believing God's got this. Number three, peace from God is not of this world. John 14 puts it this way, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And we talked about how the world offers entertainment as distractions, even addictions, as morphine, kind of a metaphor here to cover the pain but not cure the illness, you know, that we go for the numbing effect. That's what the world offers, but there's a deeper peace in Christ. It's not of this world. And then number four, peace flows from a mindset on the Spirit. Peace flows from a mindset on the Spirit. Romans 8 puts it this way, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. When Peter walked on the water, he was doing great when he set his mind on Jesus, the Lord, the Spirit of the living God. But when he got his mind set on the things of this earth, the wind and the waves, he began to sink. Well, now we come to number five. It's over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It's the start of the Sermon on the Mount. And in that start, we have the Beatitudes. And one of those Beatitudes is this one, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Oh, I love this. Our fifth of the 16 takeaways we'll be covering this month about how the Lord is our baseline peace is simply this. Peace is spread by God's peacemakers. Peace is spread by God's peacemakers. Let me ask you a question, my friend. Are you one of the sons or daughters of God that walk in a manner where people will see you as a peacemaker, bringing his peace, his heart, his spirit, his grace, his tenderness, his gentleness, his mercy into the room and leaving that wake whenever you go away? Are you a peacemaker? Hey, one of my favorite illustrations of that is simply the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. As you know, a thermometer takes the temperature of the room, kind of absorbs the heat, and then tells you, this is what it's at. Hey, do you absorb whatever's going on in a room or in a meeting or a church or in a business and just reflect the same temperature there, whether it's hot, cold, good, bad? Or are you the thermostat? You walk into a room and you set the temperature, you set the tone, you set the focal point. You set the environment. You set the atmosphere. Is that you? And is that atmosphere that you set the peace of the living God and all of his gentleness and kindness? Or are you as agitated as everybody else seems to be these days in this crazy world of ours? So I have a brother-in-law. I saw several, actually. One of them is working at Starbucks, has for several years. He's a bivocational pastor over the years, and Starbucks became a great place of ministry because that's where so many people congregate and come regularly. And he had a ministry in the Starbucks wherever he worked of offering to pray for people just casually as he was serving them, being encouraging to them, speaking life into their lives, not contributing to any of the griping or grousing or gossiping or finger pointing or bad mouthing or complaining, anything like that. He would set a whole different thermostat in whatever Starbucks he worked in. And he's recently moved to a new city and is in a new Starbucks. And he was telling me, it's a pretty rough one. The culture here, from the young management on down to the younger workers, it's pretty harsh. But after a few weeks being there, he's older, you know, and he's been in the ministry for many, many years. He's kind of like a grandfather to them all, but his spirit of peace and kindness in the Lord is beginning just to fill that place and changing the culture among the workers and therefore among the customers. People are asking for him when they come to get their coffee, is so-and-so here? Oh, I want to talk to him, you know, and stuff. And it's an amazing thing. Do you set the temperature? Do you set the tone wherever you go and whoever you're with, whatever meeting you're participating in, whatever conversation you're engaged in? Because peace from above is spread by God's peacemakers. And the more you are abiding in Christ Himself, who, as we said at the beginning, peace is most deeply Christ Himself, the more you abide in Him, the more you'll be a peacemaker wherever you go. You know, I was many years ago, I've been on a lot of different mission trips and taken youth and all over the years and stuff. So we were coming back. We live here in Southwest Florida. We were coming back from one of the Caribbean islands where we had been on a mission trip for about 10 days. And we were exhausted and we're coming back. Had flown back into Miami, got our charter bus that we had scheduled, hopped on, got everything all packed up, started making our way for the 2 hours or so across what we call Alligator Alley, stretch from Miami to the other coast and Naples and then Fort Myers. But in the middle of the alley, the bus broke down, tire blew. Oh man, but fortunately we were near the one and only exit on that long strip between road between Miami and Fort Myers. Well, we were grateful for that, and we made the phone calls, and they sent out, oh, I'm so sorry, sir, you know, we'll send out another bus to pick you up. And so we, you know, we spread peace. Okay, let's just, there's a rest stop area here. I tell you what, just get some snacks, let's hang out another hour or and a half or so. We'll be on our way again. Let's get some snacks. It's on us, you know. So spreading peace. So the second bus comes, and so we get it all packed up finally from the one bus to the others. Off we go, back headed towards Fort Myers. 10 minutes later, and by now it's like 10 o'clock at night. 10 minutes later, thump, 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 the bus pulls over. I'm going, what in the world? I go outside with the bus driver. He looks at his tires. I can't believe this. I just blew a tire. We can't go. We're going to have to call for another bus. You cannot be serious, I'm thinking. But outside, I'm saying, well, all right, make the phone call. It is what it is. But what am I going to tell these kids? I was just so frustrated. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, remember, son, you're the peacemaker. They're looking up to you. You're the leader. You're going to get up there and complain, grouse, be perturbed. Are you going to do something else? And as I got up in that bus, it came to me. I said, well, I've got some great news. And I went, what? We're going to get a 3-for-1 price on this bus. What? Yeah, you know what? Things happen sometimes. Another tire blew. They're going to get another bus. Get out the guitars. Get out the snacks. We'll just make it a roadside party while we wait for the next bus. And man, do we have a story to tell for years to come. And that was 30 years ago, my friend. And I'm still telling that story. You can set the tone in the midst of things that happen that aren't so good, my friends. You can have peace in the midst of the storm and the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and the fear and the frustration and the insecurity, the finger pointing, the bitterness, all those things. You can be the one who's the peacemaker if you abide in Christ Himself, where our peace comes from. Most deeply. Well, as we continue our journey, we come to number 6 of our 16 takeaways. We'll only do 4 today, so the second for today and number 6 on the big list is that peace flows when we build up one another. Oh, this is a cool one. Peace flows when we build up one another. Romans 14:19 puts it this way. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another. I'm telling you, when you build up others all around you, peace will flow. That is one of the easiest ways to be a peacemaker, as we just talked about in number 5, is to look for ways to build up one another. Find the thing that you can emphasize or highlight in that person. And by the way, does every person also have things that don't need to be highlighted, that are kind of problematic? Of course, we're all a mixed bag. Get over it. Of course we are. But find the things that are positive and encourage people in that. And if you are needing to address something with the struggling in or they did that was not so good, you can do it in an uplifting way as well. So let me give you a couple of examples. So years ago, when I was pastoring at the local church level, which I did for about 35 years, one day one of our guys came to me after service. Most people had already gone. He said, "Hey, Pastor, can I give you a heads up?" Now remember that phrase, my friends, a heads up. "Hey, Pastor, can I give you a heads up?" Well, yeah, sure. Well, just something to keep in mind. I was just hearing some folks, something you said in the message kind of was taken this way and can perceive that way. And, you know, some folks were a little agitated by it. I just wanted to give you a heads up. What you do with that information is up to you, you know, before the Lord. But I just wanted to give you that heads up. And I said, hey, thank you. It made me feel like $1 million. Because that phrase says, "I just want to make you aware of something that I know you'd want to be aware of so that you can do whatever you think is best. I'm watching your back. I'm keeping you informed. I don't want you to be blindsided. I want to give you a heads up." Now, think with me for a moment. What if he said it this way after the service, same hallway, same time, same circumstances? "Pastor, I got a bone to pick with you. Excuse me. Listen, people are talking about this already, and you said this and this thing, and the thing is, it's this and that and the other, and that was upsetting to them, and, you know, you got to be careful what you're saying. So I'm just saying, you know, be better, be more careful in your preaching and the ways you phrase things." Okay, now, that's a whole different thing. That's not building me up. That feels like he's tearing me down. But I really want you to get, my friends, that when you have something constructive and helpful and corrective with somebody, whoever it is, approach it from the positive side. "Hey, can I give you a heads up? Something you might want to be aware of, just to kind of keep in mind." And gently share the thing, as opposed to, "I'm going to criticize you. I'm going to tell you you did it wrong. I'm going to point my finger at you. I'm going to wag my finger at you." No, 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 no. It's when we build up one another. We have 3 sons. They're all married to lovely young ladies now. And we have 7 grandchildren. God's doing some great things and all. But one of our sons actually was engaged twice before the third one that the Lord raised up for him. And the others weren't quite good fits. But that's not something parents can easily say to their kids. So sometimes you just have to let it play out. And so we did that with the first 2 young ladies, and sure enough, he discerned, this is not going to be quite the good fit I thought it was, and he called off both engagements. Now, his brothers had already recently been married in recent years, so he was kind of anxious to be married himself, but he called it off, and he was really discouraged. And a couple of months went by, and he was still not getting over it, feeling embarrassed about calling off 2 engagements now and all that stuff. But the Lord just said, "You need to build them up, son." So we were together one day, and I said, "Hey, son, let me just put on my dad hat here, my pastor hat and my dad hat here. Listen, I'm thinking you might be thinking that those broken engagements were kind of humiliating, embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you something. In my book, they're badges of honor. Son, you made the hard choice and you took the hard step to share with those 2 young ladies that you really felt like it was not in the Lord for them to be married to him, but perhaps somebody else some other day. That is hard to do. But you honored them by doing it that way before the altar rather than doing it after the altar. And that will always be, in my mind, a badge of honor. 2 of them for having that much integrity." You should have seen his face and countenance change, building up one another brings forth a peace. I hope you do that. Look for ways to build people up. Peace flows when we build up one another. Well, now let's go to number 7 as we continue our journey. I love this one. Peace offered is not always received. Okay, here's a reality check. Peace offered, in the ways I'm describing here, is not always received. Listen to this in Luke 10, chapter 5, verses, Luke chapter 10, verses 5 through 6. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Sometimes there's not a man of peace there. They're not able to receive the peace you're offering, the encouragement you're offering, the building up that you're offering. And it just returns to you and they're not able to receive it. And it's a sad thing. Now, why would that happen? A couple of three, four things here. Number one, PTSD. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, that's a very real thing, my friends. And people have been so traumatized, perhaps war veterans, those that have gone through some kind of a natural disaster, all kinds of, or the bad family background. It's just like they're just so traumatized within, it's hard for them to trust anybody. And sometimes, especially people in authority, and even when you try to offer them peace and encourage them, they can't receive it. They're in a journey of healing before they can receive it. It's kind of like drought ground can't receive the water. It just runs off. It has to gradually get moistened so it can receive more moisture. Some people with the unfortunate experience of having post-traumatic stress disorder, well, we got to give them some breathing space, and we got to continue to offer little sprinkles of peace, little sprinkles of peace and encouragement. But don't get discouraged if they don't receive it right off the bat and deeply. A spirit of distrust is also permeating our culture now. I mean, distrust of authority, distrust of doctors, distrust of everything. I mean, it's happening now. Everybody's got this spirit of distrust. When that is at play in a person's heart, toward you, it's hard for them to receive the peace that you offer. Deep wounds. They've been hurt. We get hurt. We get hurt deeply. It's like a deep cut. And we get triggered very easily. You know, if I just touch you on your elbow, your arm, your leg, you're not going to, just barely touch you, you're not going to jump and yelp. But if there's a deep gash on that arm or on that leg and I touch that gash, boy, are you going to jump in pain. Well, it's not because I hurt you. You are already hurt. I just barely touched it. It reveals that when we do things that are gentle and kind and yet they react, it's their deep wound, not our problem. But we do pray for them. We do encourage them. We get triggered. And we got to understand that people get triggered. Don't take it personally. Continue to offer peace gently and softly. But you may have to go back and back and back. That person might have to have multiple people offering that to them to bring them to healing. So understand, peace offered is not always received. Now let's wind this down to number 8. Number 8 is how peace flows from honoring parents. Yeah, you heard that right. Listen to this out of Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. When we honor our parents, when we listen to their heart, their counsel, now I'm not saying that their counsel is always going to be perfect and that honoring them means to heed bad counsel, but when they offer it, we need to be gracious about it. So, well, thank you for sharing that. I'll continue to pray about it. But even if they have done hurtful things to you, and let's get this straight, every parent, moms and dads, have done hurtful things to their children. Most of the time, thankfully, not intentionally, but they're wounded, and wounded people wound people. And that includes moms and dads. And by the way, if you're a parent now, no parent is perfect. You will make mistakes. It's okay. By the way, just a quick story. Years ago, Hallmark had donated some Mother's Day cards to prisons, area prisons, to give to the prisoners who they in turn sent them to their moms. And boy, they got snapped up very quickly and they were sent out. Oh, well, let's do it for Father's Day. They did the same thing, sent Father's Day cards. Hardly any Father's Day cards were picked up by the prisoners. They discovered why. A lot of it has to do with father wounds. Father wounds. So deep, there's been no forgiveness. My friends, listen. Whether it's a father wound, whether it's a perfectionist mom, whether it's abandonment by moms or dads or abuse, all those things, at the end of the day, like Jesus, we say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It doesn't justify what they did, but it explains it. They're so wounded, they just end up wounding other people's. And if it's you, ask that the Father forgive them. They know not what they do. Or even like Joseph saying to his brothers, what you intended in evil, God intended and used for good. God is that big. Oh, forgive, my friends. Peace flows from honoring parents. And the best way to honor parents is to consistently and deeply forgive. Well, Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this journey. You are indeed our baseline peace. And we receive these words of encouragement today, Lord, that we can be peacemakers, leaving a good wake wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our baseline peace.